This is Strictly Sales with Jeff Hoffman and CC Bazaar. For more information, go to Overview Labs or mjhoffman.com.
And we're back for more Strictly Sales with Jeff Hoffman. Jeff, here again at OpenView Studios.
And this is a really short drive for me, so I don't mind it. No, I'm kidding. I'm so happy that the response has been good, and I know that at both your site and at mine, we get a lot of questions, and keep them coming because a lot of the sources for these podcast topics are really coming from you guys and from the audience.
Yeah, and we had one that came in the other day, and this one actually made me laugh a little bit because we've all been there, and it was a really simple question. Why do I sound like such a tool on the phone? I mean, we all have a phone voice. I probably have a podcast voice right now, and I'm sure my mom's listening in being like, that's not my daughter. But we all have it. Why do we do it, and how do we break out?
Yeah, it's like that kind of like studio voice, yeah, or that like sales voice.
Hi, people have, CC Bazaar from Open.
Yeah, how are you today? Great. So, it's funny because I hear people that don't sound like that at all,
right.
And then they jump on the phone and they get there. And I think it's pretty self effacing of the sales rep to write it and to ask that question.
Yeah.
So first let's talk about why people do this, because I think that's a big part of fixing it. Obviously it's because we're nervous, but it actually has to do with something even more complicated than being nervous. I think one of the worst kind of ideas we've been sold in sales, I've been sold this or attempted to be sold this for 30 years of selling, is this notion of being credible. Be credible. Be credible. And I think it's terrible marching orders for so many reasons. I don't work for my customer's company. I don't know much about their business. I've never spoken to them before. I'm talking to senior level executives that are experts in their field. The thought of me being credible in their world is so laughable that to attempt to be credible, I wouldn't even know where to start. So what happens is we have this feeling that to be good at this, we need to be credible. And what other way would one feel credible than to put on mom or dad's clothes and act like a big girl, big boy, and use big girl, big boy voice and big girl, big boy vocabulary, and say things like paradigm, and say things like leverage, and say things like ROI, and all this crap these aren't words you would normally say, and they just look silly when we do, and we have to somehow put it on some strange, like, business person, deep octave voice. I think it's really a symptom of us being insecure with our ignorance. But the truth is, it's our ignorance that's going to let us discover what we need to learn to sell this stuff. It's our best weapon is our ignorance.
I think it's so true. And I think that people think that they can hide behind the phones and be older than they actually are. But there's this website. I'm not sure if you guys have heard of it. It's called LinkedIn. And a lot of people are on it. So if you have a photo up there, you're not hiding and you're definitely not fooling anyone.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to. Yeah, it's so right. I mean, in today's world, how are you going to hide or be something you're
not?
You can't. So all right. So how do we drop it, right? How do we stop, this goofy salesy voice? Well, the first thing, I always had reps who worked for me do is they have to leave voicemails as if they were customers to their friends and or significant others and have me hear them do it. Oh. So I'd have them, let's say a young woman would come in, she'd start working, I'd say, well, I'd like you to start with here's a list of the first 10 people I want you to leave voicemails for. And it would be like her brother and her dad and a friend of hers and her cousin. And they'd always laugh when I make them do this. But by doing that, what happens is I'd say, don't give them a heads up, just do it as if they're a customer. Well, because they know, hey, that's my dad and this isn't real. So within 2 seconds of that goofy voice, they're into their normal voice that they have with their father, but they're reading what they wrote, which is probably worth reading, in this more normal voice. That's a good way we'll start. After I feel like they've graduated from the ability to kind of give at least to people they know their normal voice, the next step is they need to record themselves leaving voicemails to themselves.
Yeah.
Because I think we're our worst critics, and we'll beat them up. We'll know when we hear it sound kind of goofy. If they've passed those, the next step is, when you're actually talking to a customer, is to say the things that you want to connect yourself with, let's call it emotionally. So I know I don't want to be super pretend that I'm credible, super pretend that I know everything, which is where that voice is coming from. So why don't I actually say the words very quickly, I'm new.
Yeah.
Or I just started working here. Or I've never sold before. Or I've never talked to anyone at your company before. Or, this is the first time I've ever called anyone outside of Massachusetts.
And that is just to admit it. Like, you're almost putting yourself at ease. Right?
It's actually, I say that, but I've had customers say to me later that it was really strange how you start our conversation by saying how little you knew about me. And I say, well, that's actually for me, not you. That's to remind me that I don't know anything, and it lets me relax. Because now I'm no longer going to be exposed.
And
because I don't
know. Taking that burden off your own shoulder, right? Like, you're like, hey, and listen, now, this is where I stand.
And guess what? If you're rude to me, Mr. or Mrs. Customer, now you're the jerk. Because I'm the one who's saying I don't know what I'm doing, and you're going to take that sweet little canary and crush it. Because that's what you're going to do.
Don't crush my dreams.
I don't know what I'm doing. And I used to say this to people all the time. When you're new, that's the best starting line you could give. I'm new. Who hasn't been there? Who hasn't been new at a job and known what that feels like, where you're just clueless? So it's like, hi, can you help me? I am brand new at my company, and my boss told me to call you guys, and I don't know where to start.
Exactly.
And people go, okay, what do you want to talk about? You know, people all of a sudden become very human if you greet them with being human. So say something to tell yourself, I don't know what I'm doing. That's going to get that voice out of there.
I mean, that's huge. And I also think it's something, even if you are 6 months, 2 years, 4 years into your career, and you find yourself going back to that voice, pretend it's your first day.
Yeah.
No one knows. Yeah. Just say it on the phone. Hey, I'm new. I don't know what I'm doing. And give yourself the opportunity to just breathe.
I think that. You know, my favorite writers when I was in school were Hemingway and Twain. And one of the things
I don't know, fancy.
Well, I like American writers. But what I like about reading both of them was they didn't use a lot of adjectives or adverbs, a lot of nouns and verbs. So they kept their sentences pretty simple. And that simple kind of rhythm that they had, keeping out those flowery words or flowery descriptions, really drew you in as a reader and really made you connect with those characters and really made you turn that page. And I think that's a good lesson for all of us. There's a great line attributed to Mark Twain, which is, I apologize for the length of this letter. I would have written you a shorter one if I had more time. And it's so dead on. For us, the quickest way I found, you know, to kind of finish this up, I was taking a roller coaster ride with my oldest son, who had never been on a roller coaster before. So I was pretty jazzed. He was jazzed. But as soon as we got in the car, you know, we were in the front. He's like, let's get in the front seat. You know, I'm like, great. We get in the front seat of this roller coaster. And as soon as it starts to move, the look on my boy's face was terror. It was pure terror. And I felt it, but I knew what roller coasters are. He didn't. So I look over at him, and he's really trying to be brave, and he's not, like, trying to fight off the look that he's terrified. And I'm like, how you doing, buddy? And he's like, I'm okay. I'm like, no, really, how do you feel? And the car is starting to click away. And he's like, well, I'm a little scared. I'm like, I can't hear you. He's like, well, I'm a little nervous. I can't hear you. I'm scared. I'm like, I can't hear you. And now we're starting to go up this thing, and it's making a little more noise. He's like, I'm scared. And then we get to the very top. He goes, I'm scared. And he screams it. But when he screamed it, huge smile on his face. There's something about connecting with where you are when it comes to anxiety that releases anxiety.
Yep.
And that's a quick way to get that voice out of your
head. Yeah, you got to be in tune to yourself, right? And that, I think you just nailed it. It's all coming from anxiety. So first time on the phone, don't be nervous. No need to apologize. Just be yourself.
I love it.
Cool. Thanks, Jeff.
My pleasure.